Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We are currently going through the book of Revelation at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ in the adult Bible class. I want to invite you to come to our Bible classes. We have good Bible classes for all ages, small children all the way up through adults. We have a Bible class on Sunday morning at 9:30. We have a Bible class Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Just coming and reading and hearing and learning God's Word is such a joy and such a privilege that we have. Let me encourage you to come and be a part of our good Bible classes, and your children can learn from God's Word as well. We would invite you to come. And in the adult class, we're studying the book of Revelation. Revelation is an often neglected book. It's a misunderstood book. It's a misinterpreted book, but it doesn't have to be. And you can come and learn from this great book. It has great messages even for us today. And many people look at the book of Revelation and they either ignore it because they feel like they can't understand it. There are signs and symbols that have to be taught and understood and interpreted correctly, but we can understand the book of Revelation. And Revelation was written to Christians toward the end of the first century who were being persecuted by Rome for their Christianity, and they're told to keep being faithful to the Lord, and they will be rewarded for it. Their persecutors will be judged and punished, but faithful Christians will be vindicated and rewarded with a home in heaven. And so it's a great message, and we can learn from it and gain some practical lessons from it. There are seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation, seven statements that lead off with blessed, and I want to look at those this morning just to give us a taste of the fact that the book of Revelation can be very practical and encouraging for us. We don't have to shy away from it at all. But the seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. When we hear the word Beatitudes, we commonly think of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, the various blesseds that are given there. And we're familiar with those. Maybe we've seen those on a plaque. They are things that are very popular, especially from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and so forth. We're familiar with those. But this blessed word, Makarios, is found in the book of Revelation also. And John, taking this revelation from Jesus, is encouraging Christians to be faithful to the Lord, and they can have a blessed and happy life, even during times of persecution. The word means to be fortunate, to be well off, a happy state of being. But what does it mean to be well off? How can they be well off when they're being persecuted by Rome? What does it mean to be well off? Even today, what does it mean to be blessed or fortunate or well off? What makes us happy today? We're going to talk about that at the close of our lesson this morning, what so many people turn to be happy. But we're going to find in these seven Beatitudes that it is a right relationship with God and Jesus Christ that makes us well off. It's not based upon material things, but spiritual things, having our lives right with God through Jesus Christ. Let's look at the seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. Blessedness comes when we're in a right relationship with God, regardless of what's going on in our life. These Christians were being persecuted, and some of them were even being killed for the cause of Christ. Maybe they had their possessions taken from them. Maybe they had a job loss. Maybe they found it hard to buy things. And regardless of that, they could be blessed and happy. That's something to think about, friends. Happiness is not tied to just the things of this life. Happiness is tied to a right relationship with God. And if we came home to a house burnt down, we could still be happy. If we came home to somebody having stolen all of our goods, we can still be happy. If we find out from the doctor that we have cancer, we can still be happy. People don't think about that, but that's true. Let's look at what it means to be fortunate and happy and well off in God's eyes. The first beatitude is found not far into the book, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. The first blessed relationship comes when the Christian at this time reads and hears the words of this prophecy. Friends, today the same is true. The Bible is the most important book we could ever read or hear, and yet it's the most neglected book of all time. We have Bibles everywhere, and there was a time in this nation and around the world where the Bible was read more, but it's being neglected. People spend more time with their gadgets and their technology and things like that than they do with the Word of God. We're blessed when we read the Word of God and when we hear the Word of God. There was a great reading of the Word of God in Nehemiah chapter 8. The people were gathered together to read the law after coming back from the Babylonian captivity. Isaiah said, "Seek out the book of the Lord and read," Isaiah 34, verse 16. We need to understand the importance of reading the Word of God. In this passage, there are a few things that I would like to consider regarding this matter. What was being read was of divine origin. This came from God. God gave the book to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to his angel, and the angel gave it to John. This is not just any old book that we're reading, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. And all of God's word has been given by God. So, number one, because it's the very word of God, that should excite us. And number two, it was signified or given in signs. There are signs and symbols, and those can be interpreted properly, especially by looking at Old Testament passages that give the background to these signs and symbols. And number three, it was to be an encouraging message. We read things which must shortly come to pass. And then later in verse three, the time is at hand. This is going to encourage Christians to remain faithful. The persecution coming from the Roman Empire would eventually end. They would be judged for their sinful behavior, and Christians would be rewarded for their faithfulness to Christ during this time. So read and hear. And we're going to talk about keeping the Word of God later when we get to another beatitude. But reading it and hearing it, what a privilege it is. Do you have the Bible in your life, friend? If not, let's get it in our lives. Let's be Bible reading, Bible believing, and Bible obeying people for ourselves and for our family. School has started back up, and education is on the minds of a lot of young people and their parents. What about learning the Word of God? What about being educated in the Word of God? That's even more importantly than a secular education. And you can come to our good Bible classes and be educated in the Word of God. Math and science and history and geography, all of those things are fine. And art and all kinds of other classes, music and all of that, that's all fine. But none of that is going to get you to heaven. None of that's going to get you to heaven. But hearing and reading and studying and obeying the Word of God will. And so, think about your spiritual education for you and your family as well. But then there's a second beatitude that is given in this book, and it's found in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. And this beatitude has to do with how we die. It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. We're going to die. Unless Jesus comes again in our lifetime, we're all going to die. We don't live on forever. But how you die, you can't control if you die or not, but you can control how you die, whether you die a faithful Christian or not. The second beatitude is found in Revelation 14, 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, or yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. It's a blessed state to die in the Lord. All die, Hebrews 9, 27. But only those who die in the Lord, meaning they have been baptized into Christ and they are living faithfully, they are the ones who are blessed and remembered for their good works. We have to be ready and die in the Lord. Paul describes it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13 and following as falling asleep in Jesus. That's the same thing, falling asleep in Jesus. Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Are you living faithfully each day? If sin has come back into your life as a Christian, 1 John 1, 7 through 9, have you confessed that and repented of that and prayed for that? We've got to die in the Lord, and we don't know when that day is coming. These words are a promise of happiness and blessedness. But Christians need to die in the Lord. And despite their being persecuted, and some of them were even being killed, this gives an encouragement to stay faithful all the way to the end. And notice a couple of things about this. First of all, they rest from their labors. There was work involved in living faithfully for a Christian, as a Christian, and now they can rest. And in chapter 21 and chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, where heaven is described, it's a place of rest. There's no sorrow or sadness or crying there. It's a blessed state of rest. What a great thing that is. And they are worshiping God around his throne. And then number two, their works follow with them. In other words, they're going to be rewarded for their works. They take their works, as it were, with them into the judgment day, and they're rewarded for their faithfulness. What a great thought that is. Everybody dies, but only certain ones die in the Lord. And friends, if we can help you to be baptized into Christ and help you to live faithfully so that you'll die in the Lord, let us help you to do that. Number three is found in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. After a series of judgments upon sinful mankind is given, chapter 16 and verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Only careful, vigilant, and pure living will be blessed. We need to become a Christian, and we need to live pure lives. He that watches, we need to be careful and vigilant and follow the word of God and not just live any way we want. We need to be vigilant and watchful. The devil is about like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, and we need to be on guard that we don't fall into sin. And then keeping one's garments, this is spiritually speaking, pure living according to the word of God. What a great thought that is. And we need to be doing the same. We need to be watchful. Jesus had a number of statements, especially in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, about being watchful and being vigilant and being ready for his coming. And the Roman sinful people are going to be judged and destroyed, but you be watchful and not begin to live like them. Come out and be separate. The message is going to be in Revelation chapter 18. Come out and be separate from that sinful humanity around you. Don't live like that. Live pure lives. So he says, be watchful, literally stay awake, be vigilant. And that word is associated with standing fast in the faith, spending time in prayer. It's used for remaining sober and clear thinking, being alert for the devil's presence. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be watchful. The devil roams about like a roaring lion. And then John says, keep your garments that you be not defiled. The sinful world around them was idolatrous and immoral. And these Christians were to stay away from that. Only then would they be blessed, and they will be able to be a part of the redeemed in heaven. So, blessed is the person who's careful about how they live. Let's look at the fourth beatitude that is listed here. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lamb in the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ. And he saith unto me, these are true words of God. And I fell down before his feet to worship him. And he saith unto me, see that you do it not. I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren that hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so we have this blessedness. Only those who are joined to Christ, like a bride and a bridegroom at his coming, will be invited into heaven. Jesus taught parables about how that he was a bridegroom, and that people need to be ready when he comes. We are joined to Christ in baptism, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. And we can be joined and be a part of this great supper, as it were, a marriage supper. In the New Testament times, there were different stages for a young man and a young woman to get married. The first stage, a lot of times, had to do with the parents agreeing that their son and daughter would be joined. And then there was a period of betrothal. Sometimes that lasted for a year, where the young man and woman agreed to be husband and wife. They would not live together. They would not engage in any kind of intimacy, but they were promised to each other. And then there was the actual marriage, and there would be, on the evening of their marriage, there would be a procession throughout town from the bride's house to the groom's house, and when they got there, a canopy was set up, and there would be a supper. The couple would sit under the canopy, and there would be special guests and different things that would be said there, and rejoicing and other activities. And so this marriage supper, today a lot of times we will have a a dinner or a reception after a wedding, similar to that custom. This is symbolic of coming together and joining with Christ in a spiritual marriage relationship. And we have to be like a virgin or a bride to Christ. If you back up a few verses in Revelation 19, verse 6, hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad. Let us give glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Faithful Christians are like the bride of Christ, but we have to be pure and we have to be righteous in our living. And that righteousness is determined by the righteousness of God's word. When we follow those things of God's word, we are righteous. John says in 1 John that we can do and be and practice righteousness. Contrary to what people say today, we can be right with God, but it's based upon his standard. But just like today, a man would want to marry a pure virgin, that's whom Christ wants to be joined with. And so we've got to get the sin out of our lives, and we've got to keep it out of our lives. And when we do that throughout our life and we die that way, it is like we are being joined to Christ in a marriage relationship and a marriage supper. And so, friends, we need to get that purity in our lives. We need to get those righteous acts. And notice that it's righteous acts and not just righteous thoughts. We've got to be living right each and every day. And again, that's not promoted today. It's not common. It's not popular. Today it's just live any way you want. But we've got to get back to that righteous standard. And it's a blessed relationship when we're living and engaging in righteous acts. That's what makes us truly well off, blessed, fortunate, and happy. The happy life is not living the life of sin, living any way we want. It may start off being fun, but it causes many problems. The happy life is a life without sin. Let's look at the fifth beatitude, which is found in chapter 20 and verse 6. Chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This particular beatitude speaks of Christians who come out of the first resurrection. They have been faithful to Christ during this persecution that they were undergoing toward the end of the first century. And it's as if they were resurrected from that. Their cause for Christ continues to live on. One Old Testament background that deals with this is Ezekiel chapter 37, where Ezekiel sees a vision of dried bones that are resurrected. They come back to life, which symbolized at that time deliverance of Israel from the Babylonian captivity. In a similar fashion, in Revelation chapter 20, what we find here is that Christians who have died, and it's not just any kind of death. Back, if you back up just a few verses, those who have been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worshiped not the beast, the Roman government, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand. They don't want to be identified with that sinfulness and worldliness. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, symbolic of a long period of time. The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. So there are those who have already died for Christ. There are those who are still living for Christ. And this first resurrection is symbolic of people who were beheaded for the cause of Christ, but now they're living. They're living beyond death, and they're ruling and reigning with Christ. Earlier in chapter 6, these beheaded saints are crying out, "How long? How long do we have to undergo this?" And in chapter 20, that question is answered. They are avenged. Their cause is vindicated. They reign with Christ for an extended period of time. They were resilient enough to remain faithful, and they're promised a happy future. And It's a future without the second death in it. Blessed are these individuals. Over these, the second death, which is hellfire, chapter 21, verse 8, it has no power over them, no power or authority over them. And boy, it is truly blessed when we don't have to be in hellfire. The sixth beatitude is found in chapter 22 and verse 7. Chapter 22 and verse 7. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. This is the same as chapter 1 and verse 3. Keeping, in other words, obeying. The word keep here is the idea of watching or guarding. And it's not a matter of just hearing the Word of God or reading the Word of God, but doing it. That's what makes one blessed. James said in James 1:25, it's not the hearers, but the doers of the Word of God. Not just hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. That's the person who is blessed. In fact, James brings up the idea of blessedness. He that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and continues, not being a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man is blessed in his doing. In his doing. So many people today, I just want to think about the Word of God, or I want to just look at it. For many today, the Word of God might be just a quotation on a magnet that's on a refrigerator, or a bookmarker, or some little statement like a poem. They don't read and study and learn and obey. It's the obedience part that they don't want. But Jesus says that we're blessed in our keeping. That means that we are guarding it and we are watching carefully. That is a theme of the book of Revelation. We've got to put this into practice in our life, John says. And there are similar lessons here even for us today. And then last of all, the last seventh beatitude in chapter 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the holy city. This, of course, is entering into heaven's rest. This is the most important goal in our life. And we've got to wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We have to be baptized into Christ and then continue to live faithfully for Christ, and we have the right to enter into the tree of life in chapter 22, verse 1. That's in heaven around the throne of God. And we can enter into the gates of the city, Revelation 21. Heaven is described as a city and God's people there. And what a happy state to enter in. But it's those who wash their robes. We have to be forgiven of sin and live faithfully each and every day. Friends, the seven blessed beatitudes of the book of Revelation, that's truly a happy life. It's not found in money, employment, education, sports, recreation, hobbies, health, material possessions. Being happy is found in a right relationship with God. Let us help you to have that relationship. I hope that you'll have a good day.